WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. A highly charged, highly partisan evening on Capitol Hill. President Trump's address to a joint session of Congress covered everything from tax cuts to tariffs and from immigration to foreign policy. And to those government workers fired by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency.
Many more have been found out and exposed and swiftly terminated by a group of very intelligent, mostly young people. Headed up by Elon, and we appreciate it.
In the Democratic response, Senator Alyssa Slotkin questioning Trump's new tariffs on goods from Mexico, Canada, and China, asking what happened to Trump's promise to bring prices down.
Grocery and home prices are going up, not down, and he hasn't laid out a credible plan to deal with either of those.
During the speech, Democrats staged both vocal and silent protests. The only applause from Democrats was when Trump announced that Ukraine wanted to restart peace negotiations. This is ABC News. A Hong Kong-based conglomerate has agreed to sell its controlling stake in a subsidiary that operates ports near the Panama Canal to a consortium including BlackRock Incorporated. It effectively puts the ports under American control and comes after President Trump accused China of interfering with canal operations. It appears a planned resentencing hearing for Lyle and Eric Menendez will not happen this month.
In a social media post, Lyle Menendez wrote the resentencing hearing set for the brothers this month will not occur. A delay was expected after Governor Gavin Newsom ordered the state parole board to investigate if the brothers would pose a risk to the public if they were to be released. That report will be given to the judge and could take some time for the board to put together. But Newsom's move indicates he might be considering clemency for the brothers. Lyle Menendez writing, hang tight, keep the faith. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Police on Long Island investigating how a teenager got a hold of a marijuana gummy, handed them out to about a dozen schoolmates, 11 middle schoolers sent to the hospital. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks beat the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks down the Hawks 127-121 in Atlanta. Damian Lillard scored 23 points, but after the game had a swollen black left eye. How'd that happen?
I went up to try to, you know, help him off the glass, and was behind the guy. His arm just came down. His elbow went, you know, right up. Like, the point of his elbow hit right on my eyeball. So, you know, once it hit, I knew it was either going to swell up or turn black. But my vision was, I never had my vision get blurry like that.
Men's college basketball, number 12th ranked Wisconsin in Minnesota tonight for the border battle, while number 20th ranked Marquette seeking revenge at UConn. NFL, Green Bay Packers re-signing kicker Brandon McManus to a new 3-year deal worth $15.3 million. McManus gets a $5 million signing bonus with another $5 million guaranteed. He turns 34 this summer at the start of training camp. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Kieran Culkin is now an Oscar winner, having won the award for Best Supporting Actor last Sunday night. However, if Culkin had his way, someone else would have won. Just 2 weeks before the film written by Jesse Eisenberg was to start shooting, Culkin said he almost quit because the last season of Succession went on longer than anticipated and he wanted to spend time with his family. Culkin also won the Golden Globe and Screen Actors Guild Award for his performance. Being a good dad only goes so far. Speaking of the Culkins, Kieran Culkin has come a long way from playing Fuller McAllister in Home Alone alongside his brother Macaulay. Macaulay attended after parties with his wife Brenda and said he knew his younger brother was going to win because of where they sat him in proximity to the stage. The older Culkin was asked if he would see his brother later that night, and his response was, "I'm not sure. He's a busy guy." He's now Academy Award-winning actor Kieran Culkin. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some heavy rainfall in the overnight and steady temperatures in the mid and upper 30s. A blustery northeast wind. On Wednesday, snow will develop across the area as temperatures falling into the upper 20s, total accumulation 1 to 2 inches. Right now, it's 37.
Earl Ingram.
Welcome to Campaign for Lead Free Water with Governor Evers' efforts to address the lead issue. Following that, we will have Dr. Robert Craig join us to talk about Trump's discussion with Congress.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Peach Wabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to be on the air on this Tuesday night, broadcasting statewide over the great state of Wisconsin from beautiful but rainy downtown Green Bay. I'm going to get some rain tonight on the way home. I know it. About 3 weeks ago, I left here, and it took me an hour and 45 minutes to get home because snow came out of nowhere, and I blame Brittany Merlot. What do you think about that, Conrad?
Well,
she's not here to defend herself, so I shouldn't say anything.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be snow tonight, but you might be running those windshield wipers on high.
Yeah, as I get up north, though, the temperature could drop. Yeah. Who knows what happens? I am well-schooled in driving through crappy weather, though, folks. Great to have you with me. On this Tuesday, we are going to party like it's a Tuesday, folks. And, you know, last night I had one of my favorite shirts on a Monday. I don't ever do that because you don't waste your best shirt on a Monday. Tonight I got this, like, kind of... This is a total Tuesday shirt. I don't know if you're watching on the stream, but tune in. You can see what shirt I'm wearing. You can voice your opinion. You wear your best shirt on Friday, right? Ideally.
I think so. Or okay. The Christmas Eve of weekdays.
Thursday is a good night to wear a good shirt, too. There's nothing wrong with that. Last night, I kind of shot my wad on a Monday with my best shirt. Now I don't know what to do. I'm going to be like in a tank top on Friday by the time the weekend gets here.
There you go.
Yeah, you know. I'm not saying I have the guns I used to, but we'll see what happens. Fun show tonight, folks. Okay, I just found out that John Egan is not Appleton-based. I don't know who introduced me to John Egan. I think it was Mike Mercury. I think. But for some reason, I had in my head he was an Appleton-based comedian. And John is getting a little testy about this. He said, "Stop saying I'm from Appleton," and he threatened me. He put a ha-ha after the Twitter. But you know what ha-ha means to me? I have brass knuckles, and I'm not afraid to use them, pal. And maybe he's not from Appleton. I don't know that I believe him. I think he is, but I see John in Appleton, and I'm going to keep pushing for Appleton. I think John would do very well in Appleton. But we'll have we can ask him about that at 6:35 and find out why he hates Appleton. And then Craig Kinnett is here at 7:20. That'll be fun. Craig is a local filmmaker. And also a teacher who teaches filmmaking to kids. And he's always got, Craig always has a ton of stuff going on. So we're going to talk to Craig about film festivals. There's another a tribute coming up, I believe, at the Green Bay Film Festival with Bill Rabane, who made the giant spider invasion. So we'll talk to Craig about that as well. He's coming into the studio at 7:20. If he can brave the elements and Green Bay traffic and bad neighborhoods, hopefully Craig will get here in one piece. John Egan, being from Appleton, doesn't have that problem because Appleton's a very nice town.
Appleton's a lovely city.
Appleton's a lovely city, as is Green Bay. We're all doing very well.
So that's our those are our guests for tonight. I think a couple swell guys celebrating Northeast Wisconsin here tonight on Nightlight, as we often do. And, you know, I heard the word on the street is, Conrad, that as many of you know, Adrian Brody gave the longest speech, the longest acceptance speech in Oscar history. He was one second shy of the record. He gave the second longest acceptance speech in Oscar's history, missed the record by 1 second. All through the show last night, he was still talking. I kind of just ruined the gag.
Well, I think he went 2 days over now, actually.
Is he still talking?
There's so many people to thank. I will really try and be as brief as possible.
Good luck.
I thank, of course, my team, Andrew Sulis, and my many friends at CAA, and Lindsay Gallen, and Heather, 2 p.m. sharp, and A24, and Focus and Universal for believing in us, and Brady and Mona for what you've done for independent film, and for your beautiful spirit, and for giving me space to exist in this triumph of a work.
Going.
And my fellow cast, Guy and Felicity, you're just brilliant and lovely.
Let's catch the
and
rest
I share
of that
this with you
on the miniseries. I'm sure it's coming out. There's going to be a miniseries on Apple TV, Adrian Brody's acceptance speech. I would have loved it if he said, I'd like to thank my team, the Buffalo Bills. It just went into launched into like his favorite football team or something. Such a weird dude.
It felt like more of a, you know, personal conversation than acceptance speech.
He was working some stuff out, you know. Hey, it's Fat Tuesday and it's National Snack Day. It's National Suns Day. Not the Phoenix Suns. Sorry, Conrad.
That's all right.
National Dance the Waltz Day. I think my audience is a little more schooled and cultured, so I think they know what a waltz is. But I think if you put that out there, like, let's say people your age, Conrad, do you think they all know what a waltz is?
I've never done a waltz, but
you know it's a dance, right?
Yeah.
But you probably wouldn't know what it is.
I mean, I know what it is, but I've just never done the dance. Maybe people younger than me probably don't know what it is.
You grew up in a different house, though. Your parents gave you waltz lessons every night, so you're kind of that rarity. I had a friend in grade school, junior high, when I moved to Marinette. His name was Rob, and I don't know. I was used to seeing like Irish dancers when I was in Chicago and all these different instruments, and when I found out my friend Rob could tap dance, and he was great. I'm like, you tap dance? Like in this little town. He's like, oh, yeah, he does shows, and he was awesome at it. Love watching tap dancing. And to be honest, I know a little bit of the waltz. My wife and I did that. We kind of took lessons so we could do something at our wedding for the first dance. But yeah, that's a big one. But today is Fat Tuesday. For you Catholics out there, I want to know what your plans are. And that leads us to our question of the day.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your fat meal? What is your Fat Tuesday meal? You got to fatten up today, folks, because Lent starts tomorrow. Probably going to give something up. Most people do food, I think. So what is your Fat Tuesday meal? What's yours, Conrad?
Ooh, I think it would be some pasta.
Okay.
Probably some, like, chicken Alfredo.
Okay.
With a whole heap of Parmesan cheese on it.
So you like that cream sauce. You're loading up.
And then I like some garlic bread with it. Some really good garlic bread. Not the one you get in the freezer.
Well, no, it's Fat
Tuesday.
You go
out.
Yeah.
Or you make it yourself.
Absolutely.
And then finish it off of the day, just a Big Mac, because why not?
After a heaping mound of pasta. And a Big Mac meal, too, probably.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I think I would go Italian for this. I think I'm going with, like, Maggiano's. If you've ever been to a Maggiano's, they have this meal where they have, like, rigatoni, a very light cream sauce, chicken that melts in your mouth, and Parmesan, tons of garlic, mushrooms. It is such an amazing meal. And there's, like, a white probably a red wine sauce mixed in there. It is so good. And I haven't been to a Maggiano's in a long time, but when I used to go, they would give you so much food, you couldn't finish it, and then you take it home, and you couldn't finish that. I'm going to look it up. I'll look it up on the menu, because I just thought of it. I was going to go Indian food. I have an Indian restaurant in Madison I like called Maharini, and I know I like the chicken tiki masala. They make it. It's so good. But I think for Fat Tuesday, if I can just pack on calories and carbohydrates, I'm going Italian. And I'm going to find out what that dish is at Maggiano's as well. You ever eaten at Maggiano's?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. If you like Italian food, and who doesn't, you got to try it. I'm going to find out the name of it. But that's my Fat Tuesday meal. What's your Fat Tuesday meal? That's our question tonight. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know on the text line or on the app. I know you guys have the app because we get a lot of texts on the app. It's so easy to use. There's a little icon. Push the icon and fire away, and I will read your texts on the radio. I'm really curious tonight to see, because kind of like our soup question last week, I want to know what people are eating. I would love to know what they want to binge on Fat Tuesday. I haven't drank in a while, but I'd probably go a nice big glass of red wine too with that Italian food and probably some garlic bread to start things off.
I would just need to have water the whole time just because I don't want to stuff my face with other stuff that brings calories too.
Because you're eating too much salt too.
Yes.
Man, I did that too. I mowed some ice cream last weekend. And you don't realize how much salt is in ice cream, but you always get thirsty later. It's so weird. So I'm going to pull up. I got to find this Maggiano's menu. And then I want to let everyone know what dish this is. All right, I'll find it during the break. But that's our question. Let us know what you think, folks. Love to hear from you guys. It's so funny because the Oscars are now, 2 days removed. And there's such great stories coming from the event. I love this. Macaulay Culkin, who has never won an Oscar, I don't think he's ever been nominated, I don't know for sure, talked about how happy he was for his brother, Kieran. And I always wondered if those guys were close, because Kieran played Fuller McAllister in Home Alone, and Macaulay obviously played Kevin. So they're brothers in the movie, brothers in real life, and it turns out they're close. Like Macaulay Culkin said, he cried, he was thrilled for his brother. Just a great story. We have a phone call.
Yes, Cindy from Appleton.
Cindy, how are you, Cindy?
Good, how are you, Pete? I just came from the March 4th rally downtown Appleton. It was awesome.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, I'm not Catholic, so every day is Fat Tuesday for me.
Take advantage of that, Cindy. Must be nice. What's your meal? Like, let's say you could have whatever you wanted every night. What meal are you going for?
Oh, probably pizza.
Pizza, nice.
I love pizza.
That's kind of Italian, too. I said Italian food myself. Do you have a favorite pizza?
Sausage and mushroom.
Sausage and mushroom. What about a brand like a pizza place? Do you have a preferred store?
We have a lot of good pizza places here. I mean, we have Sammy's, we have Cranky Pats, we have Frank's, and we have, I'm trying to think who else has got some good pizzas.
Wow.
We've got a lot of good places here for pizza, so.
That is awesome. Thank you so much. Yep. Eat some Italian food. Eat some pizza for us tonight, and happy Fat Tuesday, Cindy.
You too. Thanks.
All right, thanks a lot. Lots of pizza places in Appleton. We'll have to ask John Egan about that when he's here.
I'm sure he'll know all about it.
He's going to punch me. We're coming right back. We're going to hear a little bit of John Egan's comedy. And we've got other stuff planned too, Conrad. Don't just think we're just doing this one thing. We got a whole show planned here tonight. You're not getting out of here before 8 o'clock, Conrad. Or listeners, we're in this together, people. We're coming right back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me, and I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Winning an award like this is... It signifies a destination, and
okay,
it's something my character references in the film.
If he says anything important, we'll cut back in. We'll make it breaking news. That sounds like a story. I know Stuart J. Waddles does pretty good work here, Melissa Kay, all the news people, Lisa Hale, but we've got a story too, and it's Adrian Brody's speech, and it's still going on, so we will cut back as needed, folks. I promise you, you won't miss anything. Our question of the night is, what is your Fat Tuesday meal? I say Italian food. I did look up that meal at Maggiano's. If you live near a Maggiano's, it's called Rigatoni D. And I would be surprised if the portions are as big as they used to be, because I'm not kidding. It was insane. You would take so much food home. You had lunch like for the rest of the week. And that's the way it should be. It's pasta. It costs like 40 cents, you know? But that's my meal, Rigatoni D. And if Maggiano's is closed, I go to Maharani in Madison and get the chicken tiki masala. Conrad said, what did you say again? Oh, you're going a fettuccine Alfredo.
Yeah, with some chicken in it, yeah. And then a garlic bread on the side, and just a Big Mac.
How about a big glass of milk, too, on the side?
Oh,
let's
no.
Let's work okay. Some more dairy.
That's where I draw the line, Pete.
Brian from Green Bay, that's the 920, folks, if you're scoring at home. He says Glorioso's in Milwaukee. God, I've heard of that. Is that on Brady Street? Is that one of those old Italian places on Brady Street?
If it is, I actually never went to that place.
Or is that an Italian joint restaurant? I don't know. I know I've heard of that, if not eaten there 30 years ago. Thank you, Brian. Glorioso's in Milwaukee. All right. Cindy from Appleton. We just heard from Cindy. She's doing pizza. Paula. Conrad's mom checking in says, I made homemade mac and cheese with chicken sausage. Ooh. That's interesting.
Gloriosos is on Brady Street.
Okay,
way.
I thought so. Yeah. I think it's like a deli, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. It's an Italian deli.
Yeah, I know. I've been in there. There used to be an Italian place on Brady Street called Cataldo's. And we would do our shows at the Comedy Cafe. Then we'd go out drinking. And Cataldo's was open until like 5 in the morning. Like, you felt like a good fellow when you walked in there. You're going in to order fettuccine and clam sauce or linguine and clam at like 3 in the morning. And it was fun. Like, you could pretend you were like a wise guy. Like, I don't want to sit with my back to the door, you know. And you did get some wise guys that came in there from time to time. Milwaukee has a mob, as we've discussed on this show.
Yeah.
And we would be real loud in there and laughing. And then we'd see guys we thought maybe that would kill us, and we'd pipe down. That was a great restaurant, though. I don't think it's there anymore. It had this great green and like maroon exterior. Really cool place. Brian from Green Bay also says, or Brothers Three Pizza. That's in Marinette. And I think they have one in Ocano, too. That is a foolproof pizza recipe. It has been around since we moved to Marinette 40 years ago when I was a kid. It's still there. And it's changed owners a few times, but the recipe is there. It's very good pizza. And it's like the same restaurant. It's been updated like once in 40 years. Check it out if you're in Marinette or Ocano. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My Fat Tuesday meal would be coconut shrimp at Red Lobster with a baked potato with sour cream, coleslaw, and a glass of Prosecco.
You know, also their little like garlic buns or whatever. Yeah, those called, things are so good.
What are they? They're like crab or something seasoning. I don't know. They have
it's
a cool
so
name.
Good. Yeah.
They are good. Yeah, you wolf about 10 of those down before you even get your meal. And strawberry cheesecake for dessert. That is a Fat Tuesday meal. Coconut shrimp. Okay. I'm fasting tonight, so this is really brutal. I can't believe I chose this. That's my actual Fat Tuesday meal is no food. Thank you, Anna. Great text. Brian, again, from Green Bay says, yes, since 1946 on Brady Street. Confirmed, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. Thank you for the text. Keep them coming. What is your Fat Tuesday meal, folks? Let's have some fun with this one like we already are. Hey, we've got John Egan coming up in just a few minutes. Very funny guy. I had the pleasure of working with John just about a month ago in Marinette. I brought him up there for a fundraiser with Johnny Beaner and Jessica Phillips, all of whom have been on the show. And here is a little sample of John Egan's comedy.
So what I do is I go to, you know, after work, I got to pick him up from school, the daycare, you know, she's like, oh, he was an angel all day. And as soon as he gets to me, he just starts crying, just crying, just crying. Put him in the car seat, crying. Because, you know, I don't want 10 minutes alone by myself to just rewind from the day or unwind or take a breath or listen to a podcast. So I get home, you know, I got to pass him off right to her. There's no kiss anymore because she has to breastfeed him because that's not mine anymore, too. That's super fun, you know. Not even during sex. She's like, oh, there's milk in there. Cool, fun. This is so great. So she starts doing that, and then she's like, as soon as she starts feeding him, she's like, well, what's for dinner? I'm like, oh, great. We had 8 damn hours to talk about it over our cellular phones, but right now is the perfect time. So I got to go because I have no idea because right now, one time I forgot to take a list of the grocery store, so now we have to go every other week for grocery shopping because she doesn't trust me, so I don't know what's in there. All right, so that's super fun. So I go in there, and I grab some whole wheat pasta, which you guys, did you know that there's measurements on there? I had no idea. My whole life, I was like, let's make pasta. Too much. All right, so then I start making some whole wheat pasta. I'm like, I can't. We're not poor. I can't just have whole wheat pasta. So I start making some vegetables in a pan. I'm like, well, I can't. We need some meat. So I throw some turkey pepperoni and some bacon bits in there. I mean, we're not rich. I can't afford real bacon. That's ridiculous. Silly. So I'm making all that. I'm like, well, these are not going to cook at the same time. So I take out an egg pan, which I didn't know existed until I was married. I'm like, you can make one egg? What? All right, so then I put that down. And I transfer the turkey pepperoni and the bacon bits all the way over to the egg pan. But I forgot there's olive oil, so that burns immediately. So now we got to put on the fan, turn off, wave off the alarm so he doesn't scream. And then we got to put that all together. And now at this point, at 9 months, he's doing puree food, avocado, puree food, soft toast, or he screams. You have to do that in damn order. So then you got to make sure he's full, so now we're going to eat our cold pasta burnt, and we can't even talk about our day for 5 minutes. We can't just be like, why does he keep tweeting? Why can't the president spell? So then we're just trying to eat, and then we're trying to eat. So now then after that, we're going to have to get him ready for bed and put him on the changing table, which I don't know if you know exists, but every baby hates it. You can change him on the ottoman, on the floor, on an RV, on a damn carnival ride. It doesn't matter, but if you put him on the changing table, he wants to flip over and pee and flip over, do something else, poop a damn poop avalanche on the floor.
He just gets going and going. He's a great storyteller, and he crushed him in Marinette. It's going to be fun to have John here in just a couple minutes, folks. We'll do that after the news. We'll welcome, let's say this, just so he doesn't come after me with the brass knuckles, Northeast Wisconsin's own John Egan, until we actually hone in on his address. Maybe we could do that. We'll bring that up with John after Civic Media's award-winning news team tells you what you need to know. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Where it should have been. Cause now she's gone and I am free. And she can't do a thing to
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. A highly charged, highly partisan evening on Capitol Hill. President Trump's address to a joint session of Congress covered everything from tax cuts to tariffs and from immigration to foreign policy. And to those government workers fired by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency.
Many more have been found out and exposed and swiftly terminated by a group of very intelligent, mostly young people. Headed up by Elon, and we appreciate it.
In the Democratic response, Senator Alyssa Slotkin questioning Trump's new tariffs on goods from Mexico, Canada, and China, asking what happened to Trump's promise to bring prices down.
Grocery and home prices are going up, not down, and he hasn't laid out a credible plan to deal with either of those.
During the speech, Democrats staged both vocal and silent protests. The only applause from Democrats was when Trump announced that Ukraine wanted to restart peace negotiations. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks beat the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks down the Hawks 127-121 in Atlanta. Damian Lillard scored 23 points, but after the game had a swollen black left eye. How'd that happen?
I went up to try to, you know, help him off the glass, and was behind the guy. His arm just came down. His elbow went, you know, right up. Like, the point of his elbow hit right on my eyeball. So, you know, once it hit, I knew it was either going to swell up or turn black. But my vision was, I never had my vision get blurry like that.
Men's college basketball, number 12th ranked Wisconsin in Minnesota tonight for the border battle, while number 20th ranked Marquette seeking revenge at UConn. NFL, Green Bay Packers re-signing kicker Brandon McManus to a new three-year deal worth $15.3 million. McManus gets a $5 million signing bonus with another $5 million guaranteed. He turns 34 this summer at the start of training camp. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. A complete unknown drew a complete goose egg at the Oscars despite 8 Academy Award nominations. To make matters worse, according to The Hollywood Reporter, the subject of the Bob Dylan biopic, also known as Bob Dylan, was invited to both present and perform at the ceremony, but declined on both fronts. Mick Jagger ended up presenting in his place. At the beginning of the show, host Conan O'Brien joked that Timothy Chalamet learned how to sing so well in preparation for playing Bob Dylan, he almost didn't get the role. Tabloids love their clickbait. After finding out that Mikey Madison won the Oscar for Best Actress as Anora, tabloids made a big stink that Demi Moore gritted her teeth and seemed upset. A closer look at the situation by a lip reader revealed Moore turned to the person next to her and said, "Nice." One clickbait tabloid in particular said later in its article that Moore was very happy for Madison. Now that's journalism. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some heavy rainfall in the overnight and steady temperatures in the mid and upper 30s. A blustery northeast wind. On Wednesday, snow will develop across the area as temperatures falling into the upper 20s. Total accumulation 1 to 2 inches. Right now it's 37.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 3 p.m. for Broad Appeal, we talk to Wisconsin Senator Dianne Hesselbein about her billionaire overlord and Trump's plan to gut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Our question of the night is, what is your Fat Tuesday meal? It is Fat Tuesday. Happy Fat Tuesday, Catholics. Tomorrow is Ash Wednesday. But on Fat Tuesday, we do what we want. We pig out before we try to lose weight. We smoke a bunch of cigars if we try to stop smoking cigars. Although if you're Norm Kopesky, owner of Appleton Cigar, why would you ever want to do that? But that's our question. What is your Fat Tuesday meal? Conrad is going for fettuccine Alfredo and a Big Mac. It's a great meal. I'm doing rigatoni D from Maggiano's or some chicken tiki masala from a place I like in Madison. And I would just chow. That rigatoni D is so good. But let me know what you think, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what your Fat Tuesday meal is. Get in on the fun. You know, it's funny. The Oscars were just a couple nights ago. But, well, let's bring John Egan in, because I want to ask him about the Oscars, too. I love John's reaction to the Super Bowl halftime show. So I assume he's got some thoughts on the Oscars, but if I know John, he's got thoughts on a lot of things. So we'll get those now. It's my pleasure to welcome Northeast Wisconsin's own. His address, I'm not clear, obviously. And John is a little upset about that, so we'll work through this. He joins us now on the phone, comedian John Egan. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hello, Pete. I'm very insulted that I'm what you picked for Fat Tuesday. I'm a little insulted.
It has nothing to do with your weight, buddy. I just know that you appreciate a nice hot meal at a fair price, and there's nothing wrong with that. Do you, John? Do you have a favorite meal? Like, if you were going to go nuts tonight, what would be your meal?
Well, for Fat Tuesday, we always do jambalaya. But if I'm going nuts, I'm probably going full, you know, pizza, carb load, you know, like breadsticks.
Yeah.
Just stuffed crust, you know, probably maybe wings. Wow. If they have terrible wings, they can throw in with us, like a group of Pizza Hut wings, just because they're there.
Right. I'm laughing because you said, if I'm going nuts, like, I picture you like for some reason shirtless with 8 pounds of food around you, like you're going all out.
I wish I had that confidence to not be wearing a shirt while eating. It's more of a shame. Shameful thing where it's like the most clothes as possible while I eat.
So, okay, here's the thing. We got to work this out, because you're not from Appleton. I thought you were. Sincerest apologies. I don't know who introduced us. I want to say it was Mike Mercury. So I might place part of the blame on him, because I love to throw people under the bus. Mike. Okay, good. But where are you, in De Pere?
Yes, I'm in De Pere, Bay Area. Yeah.
All right. So I just feel like you're the kind of guy, John, I could see you in Appleton, and I mean that in a good way. It's a nice town.
Yeah. Well, and that's, and to be fair, almost every Fox Valley comic lives there. It's like me and two other people, and then most of them live in the Appleton, Oshkosh area. So I can see why it's like the assumption that Fox Valley, everyone lives there.
They're both swell towns. They're both funny towns. You can't go wrong either way. So I apologize for that. Conrad, take a memo. We will never use the words Appleton and John Egan again in the same sentence.
No. Appleton is banned for me. Unless I'm promoting a gig in Appleton, then, yeah.
Okay, here's the other thing, John. I reached out to you today out of the goodness of my heart. I wanted to see if there's anything you wanted to promote. And you kind of came back. Yeah. You gave me a little sass. So is everything okay today? You seem a little on edge.
What did I say that was sassy?
Let me pull it up. Stand by.
Let's pull receipts here.
Stand
this is
by.
What the people want.
Stand by. Okay. I know not to get into a war of words with you over social media, because you're very good at it, and I'm not going to do that. Here's what I said. Happy to walk you into anything, or if there's anything you're looking to promote or you want me to bring up, let me know. And you said, not really, no. I thought you brought me on for a reason. Ha ha. That's totally fine.
See, well, okay. This is your generation's problem. No, I'm joking. When if someone says "ha ha," it is not serious, which means I just know, because you do need topics to bring for radio shows. Because I think you brought me on for Brewers once. You brought me on for comedy. So I didn't know if there was a theme tonight that you were doing.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought the ha-ha-ha was not ha-ha like laughter, but ha-ha like you're pulling a sliver out of your hand or something when you type that.
Yeah, don't know. You need you need to know that. If someone puts ha-ha, they are joking around. That is to indicate their tone of the sentence.
Oh, Conrad, clip that for promo. That's funny. thank you, John. I appreciate the clarity. Hey, we got a text here. I thought this was fun from the 608. Just based on what you said, John, I thought, and this came in right as you were saying it, so you've got a kindred spirit out there. Fat Tuesday means red beans and rice, jambalaya, and alligator gumbo with king cake for dessert and quaffing a few beers. That's from the 608. Thank you, 608. That's a good meal.
Yeah, I didn't have a king cake for a very long time. One of my buddies did, and like would always eat it with the little baby inside of it, the little golden baby, I believe that is.
I don't know what any of that means. What is king cake?
It's almost like a Kringle type thing where it's like a sweeter pastry dessert. Oh. And it's got like very like purple, green. It's got like gold on it. Usually it's like they put decorations, but inside is a tiny little like golden, like little baby Jesus thing. And then whoever finds it wins. And usually there's like a prize.
Okay. You know, to me, I just think it's the ha-ha of desserts. That's how I picture it. And, but thank you. Thank you for, that was good. That was fortuitous. All right. So how you doing in general, buddy? Hey, did you have fun in Marinette? That was fun having you up there.
Oh, it was, dude, it was a blast. It was, I was on like a whole string of like random gigs that 2 months. And so that night was great just because my father-in-law lives there. He took me out to eat before. I stayed at his house, like, and then the show was great. And I'm not gonna lie, this is like behind the curtain. This was one of the rare gigs where the venue was able to take breaks and all the comedians still killed. That is a rare feat in comedy.
That's very well said. You're right. That is rare, isn't it?
Because it shows how good the audience is, how well the setup is, and really the lineup as well. Like, there's not a lot of places where you can take a couple breaks and the audience is still right back into it. Because I had one of my favorite sets in a long time there.
That's great. And the breaks were long, too. They were like 10-minute breaks to do this 50-50 raffle. You're right. It never really occurred to me, but that's a great point. All right. I want to ask you, John, after the Kendrick halftime show, I went immediately to Facebook because I just like to bother myself and check in on friends or Facebook people who I know are going to have an issue with what he did or the halftime show in general. The first thing I see pop up is a post from you that said, "No one cares that you didn't like that."
Yeah.
did you just know?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you just know?
Well, yeah, every single, I mean, that was the thing is that even days leading up to it, like I saw a really funny post from people being like, I know this, no one that needs to read this will read this, but you do not have to be upset and talk about it, is that this might not be for you. And that is okay. Like it's just going to happen. And like, it's just that I wonder what generation we're going to get to where as that generation finally gets older, they understand that it's not for them. And they just move on with their lives and understand that was 13 minutes of anything. That's not even an episode of a sitcom. Like, and it's over forever.
Exactly. And not only that, but like, there's been halftime shows I didn't like, but I'm like, not like, I got to run to social media and let people know that I'm irate. It just doesn't, it's so silly and such wasted energy. And what I saw a lot from friends of mine were, oh, this is terrible. You couldn't understand a word he's saying. I'm a huge Springsteen fan. Sometimes I can't understand what he's saying. Like, that's the music. And for you to get that upset, and a lot of people said, well, I liked Prince, but this guy's terrible. It's almost like you're saying, listen, I like some black people, but I didn't care for this guy.
Well, and that was, and comparing it to probably the greatest halftime show of all time is almost unfair because it was so unique. And the fact that a lot of people talk about that, you know, Prince did this amazing halftime show. One of his songs was a Foo Fighters cover. So he was doing all this random stuff and just became like this cool moment in time that it was literally raining during Purple Rain. That doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
And so it was this once of a lifetime thing where you're not going to like everything. Like, I think everyone forgets that, like everyone talks about, oh, well, Beyonce's done it. Bruno Mars has done it. Yeah, that was Coldplay's. They brought them on as Coldplay wasn't even by themselves. So it just becomes this like weird thing of just,
that's great.
But it's the culture. It's that, how angry can I get? What can I get to get people annoyed? Well, how, right. can, how many reactions can I can get? And then everyone forgets it 12 hours later. That's the whole thing. It's a outrage 12-hour cycle is what we're living in currently.
You're absolutely right. They're looking for stuff to be ticked off about. Hey, how's the podcast going? Tell people about your podcast, your Brewers podcast, and how can they find it?
Sure. It's called Another Brewers Podcast. And so if you type in Brewers, it should be first because alphabet. And so we do one once every month, every 2 weeks, something like that. And we just did one about kind of getting back into the season. And then we'll probably do one soon about, you know, spring training is going to be done soon, opening days in like 3 weeks. And so probably talking about all that stuff and, you know, Bob Uecker, and they brought in another pitcher. And so, you know, it's just kind of what's been going on with the team.
How do you like their chances this year? What are you expecting?
I'm expecting the same, just because last year they thought they were going to be terrible, and the Brewers proved everyone wrong. They're really in on the Cubs this year. Again, even though the Cubs really didn't do much, they brought in one outfielder who's having a terrible spring training, which doesn't mean much, but it's not great if your superstar is not playing well. And I don't know. They just assume the Cubs are going to take it, but I think the Brewers, if they don't, they'll at least be a playoff team. I mean, they won 92 games, 93 games, and there's no way they're just going to not win 15 games again. I mean, they've been hitting in spring training. Their pitching is actually better than last year.
Right.
And they have people coming back from injury. So they'll be good. And if anything, they'll be one of the most fun teams to watch. They're going to have the fastest team, one of the best defenses, and a bunch of young players who keep making strides. And so, I mean, even if you're a marginal baseball fan, this team is fun. Even if you talk to other fan bases, they enjoy watching the Brewers. Like, a lot of people don't hate the Brewers unless you're like a Cubs or Cardinals fan.
That's fantastic. I tell people, well, I'll just tell them, it's at Brewers Raptor, folks. Brewer fans, check this out. It's a great podcast. John does a great job hosting it. It's called at Brewers Raptor, Brewers, and then R-A-P-T-O-R. Definitely check it out. It's an excellent podcast. What's going on in the world of stand-up, John? Do you have any shows coming up people might want to know about?
One's our Don't Tell Comedy. That is where we do shows where you sign up on the website, don'ttellcomedy.com, and they give you dates and you buy tickets, and then you don't know where the show is or who the comedians are until noon that day. And so we have coming up March 27th or 28th and 29th, whatever that Friday and Saturday is our next ones. Also, peek behind the curtain again. If you're a local business owner and want to host, let me know, because we are getting a lot of rejections right now. I do not know what's going on. We usually have no problem.
That sounds fun,
some
actually.
Spas and some hobby shops were not happy that I even asked. So we're going to keep going.
That's terrible. Who are the comedians on March 28th and 29th?
I can't tell.
I'm just kidding.
That's the whole thing, Pete.
What gives? Why do you think? That was a ha-ha moment. What's with the sponsors? I don't get that.
It's
idea.
It's just a rare thing where you have to find the right setup, because the thing the big thing is that the audience gets to bring their own drinks and stuff. So you have to find a place that isn't like a bar or restaurant too. So it takes out a whole chunk of local businesses, because they either, you know, they're a bar or they serve food or something like that. So it's that sweet spot of like a local business that has just a big enough space to fit, you know, 40, 50 people and some comics. So it's that, you know, you have to find that the right business.
Such a great idea. Don't Tell Comedy. I absolutely love it. John Egan is my guest. He is a De Pere-based stand-up comic. Check him out at Brewers Raptor on social medias. I just Googled. We played some of your comedy earlier, John, off YouTube. He's got so many great YouTube videos out there. Check him out. We'll be back with a few more minutes with John. I'm going to ask John about the Oscars and Aldi if we have time. Can we get to Aldi, John? We got to cover Aldi.
Okay, we have time, sure.
All right, fantastic. I'm glad. Do you have the whole night blocked out for the show? What time do we have to let you go? If we get you out of here by 10, does that work?
There's no way I'm talking to Craig Kinnitt. There's no way I'm talking to that guy. So when he's on, I'm out.
Done and done. All right, we'll be right back with more with John Egan on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Hey, it's Amanda with another new WISCO 411. And the diverse and resilient Appleton Room to Be Safe is hosting a monthly drop-in night for LGBTQ plus adults, which will have social connection, fun, and resource sharing, and best of all, support. These meetings are available once a month from now through April. They are completely free and unstructured, so you can come when you want and leave when you want. If you're interested, go to WGBW.FM and click events to learn more.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks. Well, that's going to, you know, increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USAID and no more USAID. Well, this thing's going to rot in the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up, folks. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue.
What is your Fat Tuesday meal, folks? Catholics, non-Catholics alike, people just looking for an excuse to eat. I know you're out there. I'm one of them. What is your Fat Tuesday meal? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. I'm wearing my Tuesday night shirt. It is the fourth best shirt I have, and it is not that great. But nevertheless, John Egan is with me. He's on the phone right now, a local comedian.
Hello, sir.
Pardon?
I said hello.
Hello, hello, John. Craig Knitt just got here, John, and he said he brought comic books for your kids.
Oh, was it to give them to me? If he thought I was going to be there?
I think maybe he thought you were going to be here, and I probably said that just because I like to think about you here, even though I knew you weren't coming. But we'll figure something out. Yeah, we'll get them to you.
That's so nice. I love
yeah.
Craig.
He said you guys. He thought maybe you guys were going to have an opportunity to do some improv, and I said, Craig, I wouldn't just spring that on you if that was a thing. I didn't even know you guys knew each other, but. Let's talk about that because I think you guys know each other from improv. There's a great outfit here locally called Comedy City, and I thought you were just a stand-up, but you do that kind of stuff as well. Improv, do you do sketch too? And what do you like better, John?
I actually started doing improv in high school, so that was kind of like my first love. And then I kind of went to college, and then 2 years into college, I joined Comedy City. And so I did some stand-up in college. It was really bad. Every gig was terrible. It was called, this group of people, and I think Johnny Beaner was actually in it for a while. It was called We Suck, but it stood for Wisconsin Stand-Up Comedian, WISUC. So great marketing, great name, but it was hell gigs and just bombing and bad, and just it was really bad. So I kind of quit because I was bad. And so then I did improv for like every weekend for like almost a decade. And Craig was there a lot. We overlapped a very long time, and then got back into stand up. And then I kind of did that for a while, mostly just because money, but improv too is still kind of my first love. And I was just there last week. I'll actually be there in 2 weeks, March 14th and 15th in Comedy City. So I do both, and I love it.
Nice. And why shouldn't you, right? I mean, they're both fantastic. Do you find that the improv helps your stand-up and vice versa, or does one help the other medium any more than the other?
I would say everyone should do both. I mean, that's the thing, is that a lot of improv people hate stand-up. A lot of stand-ups hate improv. And I get it, but it's very different, but it only helps you. I mean, if you're doing stand-up, you work by yourself, and you have to be able to do it by yourself. So say if you're hosting an improv show or on the stage by yourself, you know how to interact with the audience. You know how to have things ready and be more confident. But then on improv, you have to work as a team. Like, you have to know how to work with people. It's not just always about you. So In real things, it kind of elevates each other, in my opinion.
Very well said. You are in a, without mentioning the other person's name, you're in a bit of a war of words that I looked at on social media. I don't want to give the other comic any pub, so to speak. If you really want to find out what's going on, follow John on his socials and you can figure it out. But is comedy split into two different camps now? Are there right-wing and left-wing comics, or are there just comics that say horrible things and everybody else?
Yeah, I think, right now it's kind of a phase of that. Like, it's like this anti inclusion comedy where, like, if you say a lot of like hateful things, or like, as they call it, like non-woke, non-PC, that sort of thing, there is this niche audience that enjoys that. And it is very popular right now, and it works and stuff like that. But it's just kind of a phase where, you know, I think everyone's a comic, and probably off stage they're not terrible, but on stage they are, because they know that's what makes the money right now. So it's kind of these like different areas, but it's also just like a time, like,
right.
Like during 2020 and during the pandemic, everything was every comedy club booked TikTok comedians, and because everyone was watching TikTok, and then they realized they didn't have 45 minutes, and after a terrible weekend at a club, they were never brought back. But they made that money and had that phase where a lot of other comics weren't being booked and that sort of thing. And so, I don't know, it comes and goes in phases. But yeah, there are comedians who are just punching down to punch down, and some people find that funny. But if you're not writing jokes and it's just to be mean to other people, that's not really what comedy is. It's supposed to make everyone laugh and relate to it, not punch down like over and over as a punchline. Like, that's not a joke, technically.
Well, and if like the clips I see are all anti-woke or like kind of hateful stuff, it's like, do you have any jokes about your kids? Or, you know, it's all like this spewing
venom.
Right,
you don't have to talk about your kids, but yeah, the punchline shouldn't be a stereotype about a certain race, or if someone's gay, or like, you know, they're making videos of, they're taking clips of comics who are part of the LGBT plus community and making fun of them while they're doing their set. It's like, that's not what we do. Like, that's, you don't, the whole point of comedy is not to bring down other people. It is supposed to make people laugh. That is your goal. You are supposed to write jokes to make people laugh. It should not be that hard.
Or like you said, punch upward. Exactly. That's how all the greats like Carlin and Richard Pryor and all those guys, they punched up, not down, as you said. So that's very well said. Hey, can we keep you after the news? I'd love to ask you about Aldi and the Oscars, John. And I got off on this tangent about bad comedians. I'm sorry.
Sure, let's do it.
All right, fantastic. Comedian John Egan is here. He is a DePere comedian, and he does improv and stand-up. And you need to follow him on at Brewers Raptor on Twitter, formerly or now known as X, the former artist that is Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Hey, are you on Blue Sky, John?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Brewers Raptor on Blue Sky.
All right, very cool. All right, we'll have more with John Egan. We're going to do get his thoughts on the Oscars and Aldi, which I love. Coming up next, and then Craig Kinnett joins me at 7:20. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 25% tariffs against Mexico and Canada are in place. What does that mean for us at the grocery store? Darren Von Ruden joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope.
Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the Global Cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump in last night's address to both houses of Congress praising what he says he's done so far.
6 weeks ago, I stood beneath the dome of this Capitol and proclaimed the dawn of the golden age of America. From that moment on, it has been nothing but swift and unrelenting action to usher in the greatest and most successful era in the history of our country.
Democrats protesting by refusing to applaud at anything. One, Congressman Al Green from Texas, was actually escorted out of the chamber. Senator Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan delivering the Democratic response, saying, among other things,
we need a tax system that's fair for people who don't happen to make $1 billion.
The president launching a trade war against America's three biggest trading partners, Mexico, Canada, and China. They all retaliated, sending markets into a tailspin Tuesday. Futures all pointing higher this morning. This is ABC News.